Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Feel her suck the juice from me shoot into her open throat, and she takes me deeper, all the way to the base, and her hands on my hips and ass to steady us both. I can barely stand. My knees are buckling, hips bucking, and I can barely stand up. My knees are bucking, hips bucking. She's looking at me with those eyes. Again, those eyes, those pretty eyes. I can hear her plea to let go. Let go. And I've heard her say before, and she's so good at this, so fucking good that I do. I thrust against her, inside her, within her, and I'm shriveled, rendered useless, spent.
That was Mr. Sinclair Sexsmith, friend of the show, friend of mine, probably friend of yours, because they do get around, reading from a short story in their brand new book, Sweet and Rough, Queer Smut. I'm Tina Horn, and you're listening to episode 15 of Why Are People Into That? Before we get to the main course, let me tell you a little bit about a snack I've prepared for you. I figured since Sinclair was my very first guest on the inaugural episode of this podcast, I would have them back via the magic of the online hangout to talk about Sweet and Rough. It's erotica, it's an ebook, it's hell of affordable, and it's available on sugarbutch.net, which you should be subscribed to anyway if you like dirty things. I have another very special guest coming up later in this episode, but first, here is a teaser from my conversation with Sinclair.
All of the stories are first person. A narrator, the protagonist of all of them, is Sinclair Sexsmith. So that is one of the through pieces of the book. And all of these stories are fiction. None of them are written up directly from an experience that happened, which I do also write. You know, so sometimes a lot of the archives on Sugar Butch are my actual sex life, me writing what actually happened, to the best of my knowledge, with, you know, probably some... It's really hard to remember the morning after sex well enough to write it all down, so sometimes it's not, like, the most accurate, I'm sure, but it's dramatized.
Sure, anybody who says that, you know, only Truman Capote claimed that he could that he could remember. I don't know about sex.
I mean, especially when my blood is rushing all sorts of other places aside from my brain, it's not necessarily me. But I often also, one of the fun things about that is that I'll send it to the lover that it's about and say, like, what do you remember that's not in here? What else did we do? Or did I miss anything? And sometimes I get some really good moments that I forgot about, or that I was like, oh, that really stood out to you? Really? I should put that in there? Okay, didn't realize that was
That's
a thing,
actually
okay.
That would be a fun idea for a project, actually.
It's really fun. It's a fun way to write erotica. And so in the 8 years I've been doing Sugar Butch, I've really been honing this particular voice of Sinclair's voice, writing about Sinclair having sex. So that's a big piece of what those 16 stories in this book came together from, you know, from that particular voice and that perspective. In a lot of ways, you know, my personal identities are really different than the Sinclair in this book now, but I still think all of these stories are super fun and are really good introductions to my work in general.
My entire interview with Mr. Sexsmith which is almost an hour long, is over at the new Why Are People Into That SoundCloud, which I made just in case it wasn't already easy enough to share this fabulous podcast with your friends. That's soundcloud.com/whyarepeopleintothat. My guest today is artist Katie Diamond, editor of Salacious, a feminist, queer, anti-racist porno magazine. She is the illustrator and designer of Girl Sex 101, a queer sex ed book that is gonna drop in 2015 and completely change the world, if you ask me. Katie was also International Miss Bootblack in 2011, and if you don't know what the fuck that means, you are about to find out, my friends. So grab your Hubbard shoe grease and lace into your favorite pair of Wescos, for Why Are People Into Boot Blacking?
Wow.
Hi, Katie Diamond.
Oh, hello.
Thanks for being on Why Are People Into That?
I'm very excited to be here.
Great. This isn't your first rodeo.
No. I've been on a podcast or two.
Oh, yeah? Are you a podcast slut?
No. I'd merely dabble.
I see. I invited Katie Diamond here today because she is an amazing artist and a publisher of Salacious Magazine, which is my personal favorite queer, feminist, social justice-minded, comics-heavy, anti-racist porno magazine. Published in North America.
We have a lot of adjectives.
Yes, it's true. That's, I think, maybe how you first came on my radar. And then you came again on my radar as the illustrator of every sex ed book worth its locks. Is that an expression, worth its locks? I just made it up. I'm a Jew. I can make up expressions.
Sure,
books
totally are
smoked
bagels.
Fish. Yeah.
Books are bagels.
Books are bagels. And other things we've learned today on Why Are People Into That. You are sex educator to the, or sex illustrator to the sex educator of the stars.
Yes, Tristan Tormino referred to me as the illustrator to the sex sort of, you know, Illuminati, the sex Illuminati. And I thought that was very apropos.
is it a secret,
we can't talk
society?
About that.
Oh, okay. I don't want you to kill my family. So, cults. Other amazing things that Katie Diamond does, currently working on illustrating and designing speaking of sex ed book that is going to blow the top off of everybody, and the sex ed industry in general and completely change the world. That book is called Girl Sex 101. Do you want to say a few words about Girl Sex 101?
Oh, yes. Girl Sex 101 is a road trip, of female pleasure.
What is Girl Sex 101 about? Is it about horses?
It's about girls having sex. All girls of all shapes, sizes, creeds, whatever your desire is, we cover it. To borrow my cohort Allison Moon's phrase, not every girl has a vulva and not every vulva has a girl. Which I think is very clever.
Yes, I think that's clever.
But
indeed.
It is gonna clock
and true.
In and true. And the book is almost done, about a
Amazing.
Month left of work, and it's clocking in at over 400 pages.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Sex, ed, dirty storytelling, experts, everything you could imagine.
And
every
also
page.
Potentially something that you could use to bludgeon intruders to death with,
it will make
like.
An excellent doorstop,
yes.
Perhaps when your table is uneven, when you're confused about how to flatten, you know, that flower you got in the field, this book will absolutely do that.
That's
it is
great,
very big.
I've been using Lipstick Traces by Grail Marcus for that for so long. it's flattened so many flowers. But that's great. But it will also probably teach the world to love.
Yes, that is
in
that
a queer
is the goal.
In a queer way.
Queer love, queer safe, sexy, consensual love.
Fuck yeah. Well, I'm fucking excited about that. But none of that is the reason that I invited you here today.
Not to one.
I mean, it is in the establishing your authority. But what are some other books that you've illustrated?
The Ultimate Guide to Kink.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Well with Others.
Yes.
The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure.
So many people that wrote those books have been on this podcast.
I know.
There's a G-Spot one that you did, right?
Yes. A handful of illustrations in the G-Spot one. It's mostly photos. Very sexy.
Your anatomical drawings, I feel like, are...
They get a lot of... They're slutty.
Yeah, your anatomical drawings are very slutty.
They get around. I also illustrated Backwards Day. I was featured in the Gender Outlaws Next Generation book.
Yes.
Goodness. There's more, but people can learn about that on katiediamond.com.
Oh, nice segue.
I know.
And you also have the distinct honor of having been named, dubbed, knighted, International Ms. Bootblack 2011?
2011.
Can you tell me what the fuck that means?
Well.
Because when I met you, I was like, what, you were joking about being International Miss Beach Bunny, which I thought was very funny.
Yes, yes. I still refer to myself as International Miss Beach Bunny.
Right. So you like, go to the beach and,
I lift weights on the beach. Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, obviously, that's what I do.
Yeah.
No, International Miss Bootblack, let's see if I can get my history right, only because I'm awful with dates and numbers that way, but...
Fuck them.
International Miss Bootblack has been around... it'll be 17 years this coming year.
Wow.
We just celebrated our 15-year anniversary.
Not quite legal.
But it is essentially a contest where you publicly practice and... prove your skills at being a bootblack.
And what does it mean for you to be a bootblack in the leather kinky sense?
Oh, well, for me, well, a bootblack is somebody who takes care of your leathers, ideally on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, like while you're wearing them.
Mm-hmm. I like to say that a bootblack is sort of like, everyone tries to equate it with a shoe shine, you know, the guy you see at the airport.
Sure.
You know, a shoe shine makes your shoes shiny.
Right.
But a boot black makes you feel shiny on the inside.
Ugh. Ugh. Who doesn't want to feel shiny on the inside?
Who doesn't want to feel shiny on the inside?
So, that's beautiful. So, what does a boot black do to make someone shiny on the inside?
Oh, well... for me, bootblacking, which, like, yes, I suppose if you, like, took a camera and zoomed out, a bootblack would look like they are a shoeshine, on the surface. But for me, taking care of someone's boots is providing a level of care that is beyond just the leather.
Mm-hmm.
When someone sits for me, often at events, sometimes private play parties.
Mm-hmm,
When someone sits for me, often it's the only time they're seated because we're all running around.
Right, right. So you mean like a leather event?
Yeah, like a leather event. Okay. You know, out at a bar night or whatever. Everyone's like standing about being sexy. So it's their first time sitting, which that's a relief. You know, like everyone gets to get off their feet, especially in like really intense, crazy heels or boots that come up to your balls or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So that's really nice. And then I get to ask them about their day, be really attentive. That, I think, makes people feel really seen, feel shiny on the inside.
So I'm at a party, and I'm dressed to the nines in my leather,
mm-hmm.
and you know, leather boots, leather pants, leather fancy corset bustier, and I want to get off my feet, and you're set up at a bootblack stand, which looks, as you were saying, to the untrained eye,
mm-hmm.
like a little shoe shine station. And I get to sit down, and then you actually do start cleaning my boots, like using...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's in your bootblack kit?
Oh, well, I'm a very basic bootblack. Mm-hmm. I like
Is that like a basic bitch?
No, maybe. I mean, maybe I'm a basic bitch boot black, but I
don't think so.
I have a very basic kit. I basically want to be able to fit everything that I need in, you know, no bigger than the size of a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
In my kit is polish.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just black. Sometimes I'll travel with brown or like an ox blood. Okay. Those are the three typical colors. Different types of polish. There's hard polish, soft polish. Maybe I'll carry a dye on me. Several different types of rags, towel and otherwise. I'll have, you know, different types of brushes for buffing. Mm-hmm. The little shiny part that everyone tends to think of. Saddle soap. Of a variety of different styles to clean. And then also some oils, you know, different types of, you know, Hubbard's is a pretty common one. Like, basically shoe grease.
That stuff that smells really smoky, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It smells really fucking good.
That stuff is a lot of people's fetish, I'm learning. A lot of people really dig that smell.
Yeah, Hubbard's, not to interrupt the what's in your kit thing, but Hubbard's, it smells, it reminds me of Lafroig tea, which is probably not a good reference for listeners because I'm like the only person in America who loves Lafroig tea. But it kind of smells like a campfire.
Yeah, it's just
in
it's
a very
pine,
pleasant
it's pine,
way.
It's pine tar and wax and a few other like all natural mix-ins just to make it really. So you open it up and there was a particular vintage that actually there was a forest fire and you could smell the forest fire in it for some of the tins. And so I actually. Like some of us have, like those of us that are nerds, have saved those canisters because they smell amazing. And the other thing, just to digress, the other thing that I find really, you know, I learned that because it's all natural, people like to fist each other with it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And give massages, I'm told.
And give
as
massages
well.
Or grease them themselves up and wrestle. You know, it's an all-purpose product, really.
So what you're saying is you've got this little tin of Hubbard's. It smells like a campfire. You can use it to take care of somebody's leather boots and make them shiny and new. Then you can give them a full-body massage with it and use it as lube to stick your entire hand inside them. And all of that is completely appropriate and safe, and with consent, of course.
Yes, yes.
And then wrestling also.
Wrestling also. It is the all-purpose pervert grease, in my opinion.
Hubbard's shoe grease. You heard it here first. Maybe not first, but they're not in any way endorsing this.
No,
but maybe they should be.
No, they're Mormons. They don't want us to be using it. Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. The other, I mean, nerdalicious moment here, like I've actually been slowly using less and less of Hubbard's because I don't really want to give my money to homophobic Mormons. I know.
Well, you can't win them all.
No.
I guess we could think of it as reappropriating.
Yes, we could.
Yes.
We are. Capitalism doesn't really let us do that with the buying of the thing, but we can.
Well, we'll circle back to that. okay, so Hubbard's drool. So what else is...
Yeah, that pretty much covers it, you know? Yeah. The ability to take care of soft leathers, which is what the shoe grease would be for, or soft polish, and hard shine leathers. Sometimes all someone needs is a little bit of cleaning, too, you know. They might be dusty or running around, and they just need a good wipe down.
So why do I want you to take care of my leathers at a sexy event?
Oh, God, well...
What's the connection to sex?
Well, for one, you want me to take care of your leathers because it will make you feel really sexy.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna make you look brand spanking new.
Uh-huh.
That will like up your sex appeal because you're gonna feel so confident in what you're wearing and how you look.
So it's kind of like getting like spa treatment.
Totally.
Pampering.
Oh, totally. Leather spa. I've absolutely referred to bootblacking as a leather spa.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm taking care of your leather, but I'm also using my hands to massage all of these products into what you're wearing. So you're essentially getting a massage.
Huh.
While I'm also making your boots really beautiful. So you get both of those things. Yeah. Also, it is primo cruising spot to sit for a bootblack.
Interesting.
Often people will sit with their drink or a cigar or whatever it is they're doing, and they get to chat with me, but also, like, get a look and feel for the room, and absolutely, primo cruising zone. Totally.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, but what is, so that makes sense. So the person in the chair is being pampered and also gets to sort of sit in one place and look around and sort of be totally like a queen for a moment. But what's in it for you?
Oh, well, I have a leather fetish.
Interesting.
And I don't necessarily, I don't want to speak for other bootblacks, but having a leather fetish does help my desire to bootblack. Okay. Absolutely.
So you're just like, let me take care of you so that I can get my hands all over
that leather. Oh, it's not that self-serving, but it definitely helps. I mean, I love leather. Also, you know, being an artist, there's a process to bootblacking. There's sort of like a ritual, you know, I've actually often referred to bootblacking as sort of like the way one would prepare for like silk screening or any sort of printmaking process, because cute. There's a lot of chemical and water and this and that, and you have to follow a certain order of operations, if you will, that will like make the thing happen. So I get to be really tactile. I get to put my hands on someone. It's a great way to flirt.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, bootblacking is about sex. It's about worshiping the person. It's about worshiping the leather or the boots or the pants or whatever someone's wearing. But it's very connected to sex for me. And that doesn't mean that somebody who's a bootblack is inherently sexual. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to sexualize every person that sits for me. I feel out the temperature of what somebody is desiring from that moment. Do you know what I mean? So
when you say that you get to worship the leather, that means that you get to worship it by taking care of it and
oh, definitely, that's a part of it. I would say that's the beginning. You know, leather worship by definition is technically licking, bootlicking.
Right. Worship is sort of shorthand, oh, and yeah, kink for like foot worship would be sucking on toes. And
totally,
et cetera,
totally.
Et cetera.
So I'm using it that way, but I'm also using it like I think it is an act of, you know, not necessarily submission, but an act of service to worship someone that way and to make them feel beautiful and also feel taken care of. You know what I mean? Like, and then I get to also have really great conversations. I get to learn all of, I have made jokes. And I said this when I, gave my little speech for being done with being International Miss Beach Bunny. I like, said that, like, I also know so many people's secrets, because I'm sort of like, we're sort of like the leather hairdressers, you know what I mean?
Writer bartenders.
Yeah, so, like, it's multi-layered. It's a multi-layered experience.
That makes complete sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cute.
Yeah.
So, do you lick the boots of every person at every event who sits for you?
No.
Under what circumstances do you lick someone's boots?
Well, I teach a class on this.
Great. I should take it.
It's kind of, you know, it's really a flirting class when I actually really think about it. It's really a flirting class because it's about reading cues. But basically, you know, I'll walk you through my process.
Okay. Please do.
I'll lead by example. So someone will sit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much by this point, you know, if someone's got laces in their boots, I'll ask, oh, can I take your laces out? Easier to clean, they don't get wet, whatever.
Yeah.
But once I'm unlacing their boots, I'm assessing two things at once. I'm assessing the state that their boots are in, but I'm also assessing how people are reacting to my touch. Some people totally check out and they're just happy to be sitting there with their cigar and their whiskey and that's
cruising
that.
And looking
cruising
around
and looking and around, and I'm just a pretty face that's like taking care of them. Some people are like completely invested in watching. They want to see everything. They lean forward as far as possible and they're like totally into it. So that's one cue. Some people like sit back and like let me sort of like take them on a trip. And
a journey,
and they like watch me, but they're very at ease. So I'll take the laces out. I also like to feel around. You know, I've often been boot blocking in spaces where the lighting is terrible.
Right.
I used to travel with like one of those little mini book lights that would clip onto your book, and I'd clip it onto my bag, and then
it's
I could kind of see a little better.
Really cute. You should have like a cyclist like headlamp.
Oh, I hate that. People do that. People do that. No hate on those people, but it means that when you look up at somebody, you're flashing them with a light.
Oh, yes.
It's not very sexy.
I was more just thinking that that would be funny.
It is funny.
Okay, but so there's shitty lighting in the dungeon.
So often I have to put my hands in someone's boots. I can't just look at them and say, oh, they're dirty. Like, I encourage a lot of people, like, if you want to really feel, because that's the other thing is that there are things you can see, like, oh, these boots are dirty.
Right.
But then there are things you can feel, like, you know, most of my friends are perverts, but so me saying all of my friends can put their hand on a piece of leather and then kind of feel like whether it's thirsty or not.
Mm.
You know, you can tell when you put your hand on a piece of leather and it's really supple.
Yeah.
You can tell. It's like, oh, this is well conditioned. Then you put your hand on a piece of leather and it looks good to the eye, but oh, actually, like, this is feeling kind of dry. Like, this needs some moisture.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's how you can tell. So I often have to put my hands on people's boots so that I can feel what's happening and, like, are there any nicks? Like, I'm not going to ask someone to twist their leg for me, so I'll feel in their heel. And normally as I'm drawing my hand around their heel and up the back of their leg, doesn't have to be sexual. It's really just me feeling things out and, like, rubbing and checking how people are feeling. That's also a really helpful massage move to, like, work someone's hamstring, especially if they're in really crazy heels.
Right.
That is where I know what path I'm on.
Hmm.
I can tell whether somebody really is just sitting for me and doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Or whether somebody wants the sexual attention.
Right.
Whether they want the experience of having my hands on them, of whether they want this to maybe go a little further.
Yeah.
And so I get a feel for it. Because when I'm sort of, like, feeling the back of the heel and then running my hand up along, you know, the back of someone's calf and feeling what's going on there, some people will sort of offer themselves to you.
Hmm.
They'll, like, shift in their chair. They'll moan. They'll say, oh, that feels so good. Like, thank you. I've been on my feet all day. And that's how you know, like, oh, this person wants more attention from me than just a simple boot blacking experience. They might want a little bit of sexual attention.
Cool.
Yeah.
But
I always ask.
That's great.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you were just describing something where it's about reading one another. Obviously, there could be a way in which someone could sit in your chair and be a creep.
Oh, yes. I have too many stories like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
but just as many people aren't creeps. And
yes.
So what do you love about licking leather?
Oh, well, the smell and the texture of leather is so erotic to me.
Hmm.
Especially, you know, fresh off the rack leather. Like, I used to joke, like, going into a shoe store always smelled so erotic to me when I was younger. And, like, I couldn't quite place it.
Yeah.
Like, I like, didn't have the, like, emotional or intellectual chops to, like, understand why I was walking into that shoe store and, like, breathing in deeply and being like, oh, that smells amazing. Like, and realizing that, like, it didn't just smell good. It smelled good.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, fresh off the rack leather smells really great. But the truth is, I much prefer leather that clearly has also, like, the scent of human in it. You know what I mean? Like, it should be, like, delicious, beautiful, soft smell, very aromatic leather, but I really love that somebody's been in it. Like, you know, you've been wearing it, you've been living in it.
So it's like animal skin and human sweat. That's your thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, I sound like a freak, but yes.
Well, you're not alone. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, licking boots or, you know, licking the glove, it almost seems to be sort of one of the more common pieces of imagery that is associated with being kinky, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it, I mean, I think it seems to me that the way that it exists in popular culture is very explicitly as an illustration of domination and submission, or even femme worship, or humiliation.
Totally.
Like licking somebody's shoe, humiliation, more than leather fetishism.
Yeah, you know, well, all those things are very sexy.
Sure.
It comes not from any of those places for me, really. Like, I don't feel submissive when I'm licking someone's boots. Like, if that's the sort of relationship maybe I have with someone, like, maybe, but, it's not an act of submission for me. Maybe an act of service, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really just sexual tension and pleasure, like, being drawn out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the truth is, you know, I get asked frequently, especially by people sitting for me, oh, well, you must be a bottom then.
Right.
Because you're here, you are, like, everyone has this idea, like, someone's sitting in a raised up chair, you're at a lower level, you're taking care of their boots, which is considered demeaning. Like, but the truth is, I often will hold up all of my supplies and say, you're sitting for me.
Yeah.
The length of time that you are going to be here is determined by me.
Yeah.
I'm using products that, for the most part, you probably don't know what they are.
Yeah.
And you're trusting me with some of the most expensive items that you own. Who do you think is in charge here?
Oh, girl.
Who's the bottom now? And, like, again,
it certainly can
nothing.
Be.
It right, certainly it, can be.
Yeah.
But that's not the assumption is what I wish to sort of, like, destroy.
Dispel,
because,
yeah.
I would much rather people realize that, like, there is more than one way to, you know, slice an orange or whatever the fuck that phrase is. Certainly there's a phrase that's, there's more than
we're
one
way to... We're just making up to... food analogies oh, left and right.
It's there's more than one way to eat a Reese's. That's what it is.
Well, speaking of commodity fetishism, I wanted to ask you on this podcast, something that I actually asked you, a while ago, when you were first explaining all of this stuff to me, and there was something about it that didn't quite compute for me, which was that I know you to be a, anti-capitalist individual, and, anti-materialist and anti-consumerist individual. Would you confirm that is accurate?
I confirm those statements.
So there was something that I didn't quite understand about having an obsession with an object, which, unless you're like a fucking artisan cobbler, is a commercial object that you have purchased. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it was mm-hmm. a gift, but, you know, a commercially produced object, and fetishizing that object, and also sort of the, like, literal worship of that object sort of didn't, you know, in this, like, literal manifestation of commodity fetishism.
Right.
And that didn't quite make sense to me, but you explained it to me in a way that completely changed the way that I thought about it, and you're going to explain that again right now.
Well, you know, the truth
there's
is...
There's more than one way to eat a Reese's.
There's more than one way to eat a Reese's. So the reality is, you know, I feel like commodity fetishism... being obsessed with objects. I feel like in our world, it's all about sort of trying to patch and fill a hole inside your own psyche with things and constantly buying things. And so, especially in the last 10 years, 15 years, there's been what is known as like planned obsolescence all items. I know, it's what a big word. So the idea that, you know, an object is made to eventually break down because you will then buy another one.
Right.
And that time span has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. Like, you buy a pair of sneakers for $30 and they, like, burst at the seams after one season.
Like,
and you're
disposable,
like,
clothes.
Disposable. That's
so that
it.
You can continue indulging in the pleasure of following trends and
totally
consuming and...
Yeah. And, I'm very much against that, you know, and it's hard. I recognize, like, there's a lot of classism involved in what I'm saying. Like, sometimes you can't afford more than $30 sneakers.
Right.
But, you know, when possible, I highly recommend people, even if you go to your local Goodwill,
yeah,
buy the pair of, like, $10, you know, military boots, even if they look like shit, and then take them to a bootblack, because the truth is, we will make it so those boots will last you for the rest of your life.
Right.
So that is where I feel like this sort of, like, turns it on its head, you know, investing in something that is sturdy. Leather is very sturdy.
Yes,
it is. You will have it. You can put it in your will. It's the sort of sturdiness that it has. And having somebody who will tend to it and make sure that it looks good, but also, like, this isn't just about making sure it's the shiniest of the shiny. It's also about removing the dirt and the things that will erode it and the things that will make it so the sole peels off. Like, this is a maintenance situation.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. That was what clicked for me, was the idea that you could have a pair of... that you could save and invest in a pair of well-made boots, well-made jacket, you know, well-made, you know, any mm-hmm, clothing mm-hmm. or jewelry. And if you take care of it, or you have a bootblack take care of it, then that one investment lasts you forever and actually keeps totally. You from consuming and buying and... And producing waste.
Absolutely, it's a multifaceted sort of. There's intersectionality to it, in my opinion, that I think can really be unearthed.
Absolutely. So really, you're just fighting. You're just smashing the state when you're licking boots, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's essentially what I am indeed saying.
Yes. So. Yeah, something else that you said really struck a chord with me. I think it was when I was living in the Bay Area, and there was a cover story in, I think it was the SF Weekly, about the San Francisco Girls of Leather.
Mm-hmm.
And that organization was the, you know, and I was reading about them, and that organization was the first... that ever introduced me to the ideology of community service, which mm-hmm. I had grown up thinking was something that you did that would look good on your college application, like, you know, singing to folks in old folks' homes or, like, picking up trash on the side of the road, right? But for the SF Girls of Leather, it was about community service, like serving your leather community, serving your kink community, serving your queer community, by... taking care of their leathers, which, because leather is symbolic of the community or symbolic of people's pride in their kinks. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I mean, there's a few layers to it, really. So one is definitely the community service implications, of what you just said, you know, you're taking care of other people, but, you know, the bootblacks at an event are often working for tips, and often those tips go towards something like a giant charity.
Mm.
And so it feels really good, you know, because for the most part, at a lot of these events, money can't really exchange hands for various sexy reasons.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you might be able to, like, give a donation for a Jell-O shot and then wander away, but... often, whoever's coordinating the bootblacks will pair with a charity and then give 50 to 70 to 100% of those tips to the charity. So by tipping a bootblack, you are actually donating to charity most times.
Yeah, like that event that we went to at Housing Works here in New York City, where they save all of their leather stuff from the year and then sell it all in one night.
I love it. I wish I could remember the name of that event. I worked it 3 years in a row. You think that I would not suck at that, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's great about that is that you go to Housing Works, which is a thrift store, and,
which is a thrift store that is already donating to HIV AIDS housing and research and the community. So.
Exactly.
So it's twofold.
Yeah, exactly. Housing Works. Fuck yeah. And you know, there are bootblack stands set up. And so it's cool too, because.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's sort of a code, right? Because boot blacking is something that you can totally do in public. And again, like we were talking about earlier, to the untrained eye, it doesn't necessarily look like a sexual thing or even a particularly kinky thing.
Yeah.
But you, first of all, you can do it in public without, you know, appealing to the prurient interest or offending anyone or
totally,
like,
yeah.
You know, and you, it's also something that community members can do with one another that creates a sense of intimacy without it necessarily being the intimacy of like a date or a,
absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it creates this sexy energy between mm-hmm. friends or even between.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing, you know, to speak to that point, like, what really drew me to bootblacking, you know, besides having leather fetish, loving process and ritual and,
yeah.
and you know, the implications of community service and worship, you know, it is such a great way to get to know somebody.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, I my first ever, time publicly boot blacking, first party I ever did it at, was the submit party here in New York. And
how long ago was that?
Back in the dark ages. God, I'm such an old queen now. I don't know. I want to say it was maybe 9 years ago by this point.
Cool. I just wanted to establish that. You know, you're no spring chicken.
I'm no spring chicken.
Yeah.
8 or 9 years ago.
You've been licking boots since.
Licking boots.
Since.
Oh, I've,
I was knee-high
I've been,
to a grass.
That's a different story. That's a different story. Don't let me forget that. Let's put a pin in it.
Oh.
Licking things.
Licking things.
Pin in that.
Oh, but, I'll remember that.
But, you know, I brought my kit. It was, like, the first time I was really
okay,
going
so wait. What is submit?
Oh, submit is a women in trans play party here in Brooklyn.
Okay. So it's like a place that people go to do dirty things.
To do dirty things. It's
great.
It's a good party. It's great.
Yes.
Run by Red. Totally worth it. And I had been to a few play parties, but I'd always been with people. And I was going with two of my friends, and they had plans and dates, and they were basically like, once we got to the party, we were gonna separate. Like, they had things to do.
Yeah.
And so
people to see.
So I brought my at the time, I had a kit that was in, like, an antique classic box that has the little, like, foothold, so you could put your foot on it.
Oh, cute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I showed up at the party and was like, well, I don't know anybody. I'm in a city I don't live in. I'm going to bootblack. I'm going to bootblack at this party. And
you had a little bit of training at that point?
Yes. I was maybe, like, 3 months in to, like, knowing any of these things, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe four. And, you know, Red was very nice, set up a light for me and a mirror and the whole thing. Being by a mirror was pretty fun because it meant that people got to see all angles of me without having to sort of, like, crane their necks. But my friend Lauren called me the belle of the ball that
aww.
Evening. I worked on boots from the minute we got to that party until the minute we fucking left. It was hours. I was on my knees on that concrete for hours.
Mm.
I did not have a break until this is when I learned that, you know, one, this was a great setup. I got to talk to almost everyone at that fucking party.
Yeah.
And somebody, I was not smart enough to realize that people should be giving me any money. So, like, whatever. Didn't even think to ask for it. But one of the women I took care of, she had these docks that she's had for, like, 20 years, something crazy. And, like, the toes were all eaten because she rides her bike in them and whatever. And she was like, when you're done, I want to give you a massage in exchange for how nice your boots look.
Cha-ching.
Bam. And, like, while I remember it was, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I, like, my body is fucked. I've been on my knees for so long, and I've been working in my neck and whatever. And here's this beautiful biker chick lady rubbing me everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, this is why people do this.
Okay, well, there it is. And when you say that you were working all night, it wasn't like, oh, shit, what have I gotten myself into? It was more like you were so engrossed and high.
I was so intimate.
And
I loved it. Like, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, boot blocking in a women's scene, boot blocking has been around for a really long time, and I'm really glad that now there's sort of, like, such a, the temperature is even different than it was 8-9 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. In terms of gender?
The genders of bootblacks and, like, the history of that. And, you know, there are lots of, I'll have to put together, like, a resource list for anybody that may want to read up on some of the interesting histories of all this. But, like, women have not been involved in bootblacking in this way. So there were some people who had no idea what I was doing. So I got to sort of play this very interesting role of, like, flirtatious, take care of you, also explain what I'm doing and how I learned and what's happening. And it was amazing. I loved it. And that, like, kicked off, you know, everything, so.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you're, like, the grill master at a party and, you know, you're in the place where you're in control of the thing everybody wants at the party, which, you know, if you're the grill master, that's the meat.
Well, you know, the meat.
The meat.
The meat.
And if you're the bootblack, it's, you know, not only this thing that is alluring and mysterious and has got you on your knees, but also is something, why wouldn't you want your shoes to look brand new?
Right. No, there's lots of reasons. I mean, I tell people, it's a great thing if you're shy. It's a great way to go to a party, to get into the scene if you're shy, because the big barrier when you are sort of a quieter, shy person is the fact that oftentimes you are sort of milling about talking to people.
Right.
And you have to break that barrier, and bootblacking, if you choose to bootblack at a public event or a private play party or whatever, will allow you to talk to people. You're always in one place. You have something to do with your hands, and there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. So you never find yourself sort of floundering in case you, like, don't know what to do next or don't know what you're into. Like, you can have a very contained, structured way of talking to someone, which is amazing, and it's a great way to flirt and meet people.
So, public service announcement, always tip your bootblack.
Always tip your bootblack.
Yeah.
Public service announcement.
What is customary to tip a bootblack?
You know, I've run a number of public events by this point, and my standards are, if you've got sort of, like, leather shoes, 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Sort of, like, mid calf boot, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Knees to balls, you know, 20, 25. A garment, maybe 20, 25, like a vest or a but definitely, like, you know, tip, it's like, you know, wait service.
Sure.
You know. Tip also, if not just for the job itself, but for maybe the quality of care that you got.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because some of these fuckers are wearing these, like, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Tip to toe leathers, you know, those, like, things that look like button up. Well, they're like button up shirts, but they're made of leather, and they're wearing leather pants, and they're leather shoes. And leather gloves.
You have to ask what people want to. Mostly people are just getting their boots done, but I've definitely had people, or, you know, I had some. I'm certain he's a very nice man, but I was very mad at him. I had some guy sit for me with fucking knee-high Wesco boots with, like, a million eyelets and all of these laces, and there were these Wescos that he'd worn to Burning Man 2 years in a row and hadn't even fucking hosed them down. They were, I swear, I opened them and mold fucking flew out at me. It was Gross. And that was an hour and a half of work. And then he got kind of stingy when I was like, $20 is not enough, sir. Like, I worked on your boots for an hour and a half. You will never have to buy new boots now.
Also, if you can afford to go to Burning Man, you can afford to tip your boot black.
Girl, right? Jeez.
Fuck that guy.
Talking about some commodity fetishism.
Well, so what should someone do if they... No, wait, we're going to talk about licking. You wanted me to ask you about licking.
Well, what? I need more.
Where? You said to what? Put a pin in it.
Oh, right. Putting a pin in licking. Right. Gosh, you say licking and I'm like, what do you want me to lick?
Excuse me. Focus on licking.
We're talking about all these things that I find really sexy. It's a little warm in here. I'm like sort of feeling a little randy.
Listen, I'm just trying to be profesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to put a pin in it because you made a joke like, ah, I've been licking boots for X amount of years. The truth is. True story.
True confessions.
True confessions by Katie Diamond.
You heard it here first.
This is a story we like to tell because I just think it's so funny. But,
I've got the scoop. I've got the inside story.
Exclusive.
That's not true.
No, I've told a lot of people the story, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Fuck. I've already ruined your exclusivity clause.
I want my money back.
Fuck. Some kids have, like, teddy bears, blankies, binkies, what have you. I had a leather glove.
My God.
I know.
What a scoop.
What a story. I had a leather glove named, appropriately, Glovey.
Glovey the glove.
Glovey the glove.
Uh-huh. You named the glove.
I named that glove Glovey. Uh-huh. And yeah. Rocky, he was a stuffed seagull from the Baltimore Aquarium.
Okay.
And I would
They were a pair.
They travel together. They're inseparable. They mm-hmm. can't be by themselves.
That really makes sense. A seagull and a leather glove. I can totally see why.
I'm actually
why
really
you...
surprised nobody has approached me from some sort of television network to be like, I want to greenlight this kids show.
Perhaps
like,
you ought to put that pitch together.
Yeah. You know, the unfortunate thing is I think that it would be a sort of a racy show.
So perhaps not appropriate for children under the age of 35.
Well, yeah, so I had a leather glove.
So you had a little your like security blanket.
It's so queer. It's one of the queer. I would tuck Rocky underneath my left armpit so his little head would come out.
Okay.
I'd hug him that way. And I remember doing this.
This is when you were very young.
I was toddler.
Yeah.
If not younger. I remember wanting to figure out how I could always smell Glovey forever. I needed to smell him always. I always needed to smell him. And, surprise, surprise.
This is a very perverted story.
It's a very perverted story. And so I devised that if I, dear audience members, I'm holding my hand sort of like a gun, except
like
my
two fingers.
Forefinger and middle finger. So, you know, it might also be known as the come hither motion an excellent way to finger someone, perhaps. I would... Good G-spot reach.
There's a lot going on in this story.
There's so much.
So you've got you two fingers.
I would take Glovey between my thumb, my ring finger, and my pinky finger, and then I would suck on my middle finger and forefinger. I would that way I could hold Glovey to my nose while I fell asleep. That is what I did
Isn't
as a child.
Is that a choking hazard?
Your hand on your own hand? Kids suck their thumb all the time. Is that a choking hazard?
I guess not.
No, I think that the biology would save us. I think we'd be saved. But yeah, no, that's how I could smell Glovey as I fell asleep.
Wow. Yeah. You have a memory of this. This is not just
I remember thinking this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe it wasn't quite this conscious, but like I have the memory of when that was like, oh, aha, a revelation. This is how I will make it so I can always smell Glovey and never have to sort of, it was sort of a way to like tuck my fingers into my mouth so that I never had to sort of like hold that my you know, hold Glovey to my face.
So you're like an OG pervert, Katie
I'm an OG
Diamond.
Pervert, yeah.
Yeah, you're like it goes back, it way goes, back.
It's a root. It's
and
rooted.
You never, and you never, well, clearly you never got over it.
Are you kidding me? No. No, no. Thank God I never got over it.
So were you, like, sitting in the back of, like, high school math class, like, sucking on your glove?
No, because that's high school, for fuck's sake, you know? But I definitely, up until I was, like, 13 or 14, like, if I was upset, I wouldn't suck my fingers, but I would smell glovey. It became, like, you know, there's a lot of psychology there that I'm pretty certain someone could unpack. But anyway.
Yeah, comfort.
Soothing.
Yeah.
Leather is soothing and sexy.
And so you found a very productive outlet for that obsession is the moral of this story.
Yeah,
instead of that turning into some sort of sublimated pathology, you released it.
Yeah, you know, I was telling the story, you know, once I started getting more and more involved with kinky people and perverts, you know, I was telling this story to someone and they were like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And I was like, no. They're like, have you ever heard of leather worship? And I was like, no. What is that?
You mean it's something I can do when I'm having sex?
Yeah. And that's how I got introduced to the whole scene was the fact that I thought that story was fitting for my pervert friends to be like, oh, I love the smell of leather so much that I, even as a child, and someone being like, whoa, 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 hold the phone. Let me introduce you to a whole new world.
So do you have a distinct preference for leather boots over other leather items?
I prefer leather gloves.
You prefer leather gloves.
That's I really like soft leather.
Right.
I don't discriminate. The boots, it's all about the person in the boots as well as the item. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people will really get it up for a particular brand or whatever, but I like it all. But the truth is, I really like soft leather. And so I would much prefer to, like, not necessarily just lick your boots, but if you're wearing leather pants or a leather skirt or whatever, I really want the suppleness and also how it connects to your body. But the thing that's so fun about sucking off leather gloves is that there's already something so erotic to swallowing someone's fingers. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yes.
Then you get the added bonus of also getting the glove, the actual leather
glove
in your mouth.
It's like that scene in Orphan Black where she's sticking her fingers in his mouth and getting that crazy dominatrix look in her face.
Yeah, I mean, face fucking with your hand is like such a domination situation. But also, you know, like sliding your tongue between someone's fingers and like playing with the webbing between someone's fingers is incredibly erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is part of the reason that you clean the boots so that you feel comfortable putting your mouth on the thing in terms of, I'm just curious about
because
leather is porous.
Leather is porous. I mean, there's no way for leather to be completely, completely clean from its last endeavor is the reality of it. So
There
are definitely some people that like have a pair of boots that like these are their piss boots. People piss on these boots and that's that, like that's what they use them for. But yeah, that's part of it, especially if it's a stranger's walking through the world. Like my, like it's so funny. It's like, you know, the cobbler's children have no shoes, right? Like I all of my boots, like unless I'm going to sit and really clean them, like my boots are a wreck. I wouldn't let anybody just sort of put their tongue on them, but people do. And so
they
do. And, you know, yeah, I guess cleaning it is one of it, but I'm a filthy pervert. Like the truth is I'm like, it makes
one
you stronger.
Like
my immune system is, sturdy.
That's what I was just saying the other day when I was eating frosting off the floor. Makes my immune system stronger. Now I lost my train of thought.
Are you turned on by the frosting or the leather?
You know what? We could
immune
combine
systems.
Them.
No, don't do that.
No. Licking frosting off of boots?
I wouldn't.
No.
You're licking leather for licking leather. You're licking frosting for licking frosting. The sugar will mess up the leather.
Will it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So boot blacking is about taking care of leather, community service, leather fetishism, leather worship, like enjoying actually.
For me, some people keep these things very separate.
Sure,
but yeah.
Of course. So the arousal of putting your mouth on leather and the smell of it and the taste of it, the mouth feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying you don't necessarily have a preference for boot. Some people obviously have a boot fetish.
Yes.
Or like when James Darling was on the show and he was talking about high heel fetishes.
He had like a brand that he really liked too, didn't he?
He totally
listed a brand.
He may have listed some. I can't remember if he did. But in any case, it wasn't necessarily even about the leather or the material for him. It was more about like the silhouette and the shape.
The silhouette of a boot. There are things I do find attractive, but you know, it really is, I'm such a pervert this way, you know, it really is how someone wears it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel like I really can rock like a funky fluvog, but there are some people out there that like, it looks like they were born in them.
Yeah.
They look so good. You know what I mean? So, I will love a pair of boots if you, you know, if you got it and you flaunt it, then I'm basically into it is what it boils down to. I'm a equal opportunist boot worshiper.
Cool. So what are some things that you can do if you are a boot black and, you know, so you've cleaned the boots, maybe you've licked the boots all over, what are some, are there other things that you can do, other activities that you can do if you have this fetish or you share this fetish with someone else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, by that point, you know, by the time you've, like, gotten through cleaning someone's boots, licking someone's boots, maybe everyone's hot and heavy, you know, I have an oral fixation. I don't know if this entire podcast has made it clear,
you
but
don't
I,
say.
I like to
I'll
put
be
things
damned.
In my mouth.
I'll
so
be goddamned.
It's how I learn about the world, really, you know, is I put it in my mouth. And so
you're like going through the world mouth first.
Yeah, basically, you know, it's like children, you know, babies, their like eyes aren't quite developed yet. So they just shove everything in their mouth. That's me. I put everything in my mouth. So my instinct...
I just want to clarify for listeners that Katie Diamond is a full grown adult. Despite constant references to being a small child. She's a mature, responsible,
consenting
individual of age.
I am not a baby. Point being, though, is that I like things in my mouth. So
no, but yeah.
I don't know. I always have felt that for me, you know, if I'm licking someone boot to pant to slowly moving up, my instinct is always to say, oh, this is a natural next cock-sucking moment.
Oh, yeah.
But there are lots of things to do. You know, if you like to top as a bootblack, your kit is...
Wait, hold the phone. You can top as a bootblack?
Oh, yes, of course.
My.
You can top as anything, let's be real. But as a bootblack, you can totally top. You know, one of the hottest things I ever saw was back in 2008. I was at International Miss Leather, and I decided to take a class aptly named Topping as a Bootblack. And the presenter, this person, Boymo, took their bottom, this, like, beautiful femme. And, you know, Mo's talking through all of the, like, logistics, the 101 of bootblacking, and then, you know, takes the laces out of her boots, and then straps the bottom using her own bootlaces, ties her to the chair, whips out a knife from their boot kit, and from ankle to clavicle, cuts off every ounce of her clothing.
Whoa.
Removed her stockings, underwear, bra, everything.
Ooh.
Me and a few faggots in the room were like, her bra! It's a nice bra! But then tore it all up, ripped her stockings, then proceeded to use the stockings to buff her leathers, make them really shiny, took polish, smeared the polish up her body, licked it off of her. There is a lot you can do.
Yeah.
Then, you know, your brushes, the joy of, you know, having all those brushes in your kit is that the backs of them,
the sensation.
Well, there's their brushiness,
and then,
absolutely.
And then impact.
But you have the impact. You can absolutely use any of those things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Cool.
I've always been very, very into sort of like the back alley situation of kink. Like, I would much rather be walking down the street and then only be able to use the things on my person to fuck you up. That's what I want. And I think that's part of why bootblacking is really exciting to me and why I'm so basic with my kid, is because I want to be able to sling it over my shoulder and then wander down the street, and then I've got everything I would need to not only make you look good, but possibly, like, make it so you have bruises for weeks on end.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. I like the idea of you're just marching down the street and you say, you there, madam, you look like you could use the shine. Why, indeed I do.
Yes, sit here. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What have I gotten myself into? I love it. It's very Tom of Finland, that scenario.
Yes, most scenarios worth describing are like very Tom of Finland.
Yeah, you are correct.
Oh, we were talking. I was hoping we would get to stomping. So I was, before I interrupted you.
Oh, I was talking about cocksucking.
You were talking about cocksucking, but I was specifically asking about
other things.
What can you do besides the things that we've described? Or what, like, perhaps if we think of boot blocking, obviously it can be the main event, but maybe it can also be foreplay to lead to other things that are boot or leather centric.
Yeah, I mean, I have a pair of Wesco's. What's great about Wesco boots for the uninitiated is that they're sturdy and they're American made. They're made right in Oregon, and they come in all shapes and sizes. They just recently started a women's line, and they are steel toed fuckers. They will destroy you. The soles are chunky. They, like, hold you up. Excellent arch support, might I also add. But
that's,
like,
I have very high arches, so that's good.
Oh, the boots are really great for that. But those are really stompy boots, and I would say that, like, if someone's already at your feet licking your boots everywhere, then lifting up a leg and putting your I have been licking people or taking care of them, like doing their boots when they've lifted their other foot and started to grind their heel into my shoulder blade or something. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
And, like, you like that?
Oh yeah. The working under duress is actually very hot for me. Like, oh, don't fuck up the boots while you're getting so turned on because someone's fucking with you.
Ooh, predicaments.
Yeah, it's its own predicament bondage because you have to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do a good job. You don't want to mess up what's happening. So that's definitely another layer. There are so many different scenes that you can play out with bootblacking somehow being the undercurrent. You know, my Jim Duder was international Mr. Bootblack 2011. And
so he was your
he was my husband.
Your husband.
Husband. But I used to call him Grandpa Husband because he was the guy who taught the guy who taught me. So I was sort of like his grandchild, his bootblack grandchild, and then we got married. Oh,
that's more very, perverted.
Very perverted.
Things it's
very
happening.
I'm a pervert. People think that I'm just a nice man in a tie, but I'm a pervert. But he was telling me about this incredible scene he had where he was asked to do this guy's boots with his two girlfriends. And so he showed up with his kit, you know, looking dapper.
As he always does.
As he always does. And the guy had on only his boots, and he was sitting in a chair, and he used one woman as just a rug.
Wow.
For his boots. So Jim started taking care of his boots while this woman was lying on her belly, and she was just the rug. And then
objectification,
and then the other woman was, like, sort of sexually touching everybody and messing around with everybody, and eventually started fisting the rug. And so Jim is, like,
fisting the rug,
sentences I never thought I'd ever say. So, you know, she's starting to convulse, Jim's taking care of the boots, and
I bet she was not being a very good rug while she was being
goodness,
fisted.
I would say she was being a bad rug. But
bad rug.
Also,
no cookie.
Best rug. You know what I mean?
Right.
What an accessible rug. So, you know, and how the
versatile
scene,
rug.
Versatile rug. You know, the scene eventually, you know, devolved into, like, just a boot black, sweaty, ridiculous mess of people. But it started with, you know, him doing boots while, you know, sort of like someone else hung about while there was a sort of human furniture situation happening, which is very sexy.
Wow, it sounds like you could probably incorporate boot blacking into almost any scene that you could possibly think of.
It's true.
Well, it also does seem like, you know, we've had some episodes of Why Are People Into That, like with Laura Antoniou, where we talked about service, and it does seem like if you are exploring a DS dynamic with your partner of any intensity, you know, from serious 24/7 to just experimentation, it seems like doing experimenting with boot blocking could be a really great way to explore protocol and mm-hmm. service and caring for one another. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I would say that's definitely, if you're not certain what sort of container your service dynamic should exist in, boot blacking and sort of leather care and making sure someone always looks good is an excellent place to start, because there's a lot of the sort of foundation for that is solid. And it will help you understand, like, are you someone who likes things clean? Are you someone who's okay with a little bit of mess? Are you okay, like, always having tools on you to make sure your person is clean? Are you okay with the fact that, like, you may have to tend to this particular need, like, the leather's looking nice throughout an entire day or a weekend? You know, are you okay with the fact that, like, you know, your person may not be able to give you the attention that you want because they're off doing something else and you're supposed to be in attendance to them? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's a lot of parameters that you can really examine just with this one thing. And then you can branch out from there. You might discover that, like, you love keeping things tidy, so you also really want to be someone's houseboy.
Yeah.
And boot blacking can be your entry to that, because you realize, like, you really like when things look neat or and have a certain order, and that is something that appeals, you know?
So, If somebody's interest is piqued by this conversation, and they don't necessarily have a party to go to set up with their kit, or somebody else's boots to do, what are some good examples of solo play for boot blacking?
Yeah, I mean, because there's kind of two layers, right? There's the actual technical aspect to boot blacking, and then there's the sort of, like, sexy stylings that you can bring to it.
Right.
I think that when people are first starting out, they're really nervous about the idea that they're going to fuck something up, and it kind of takes away the sexy factor. So to overcome that, I would first say, once you have your basic tools, I really do recommend, again, going to a Goodwill and getting a pair of boots. And maybe they'll be the boots that you want to wear, or maybe they'll just be a pair of boots that you think look really great, and you just want to make them look nice, and you want to practice on that. Like, I highly recommend that, you know. And it's a fail-safe way to do that. So that will get you over the technical.
But it also seems like maybe you could take care of those boots and then, you know, huff them while you jerk off.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I recommend snagging, like, a garment, ideally, like, a vest, if you can find one, even if it's one of those, like, cheesy 90s vests with the frill, and, like, you know, like, take care of it with some Hubbards and, like, really, really massage. That's the thing about the soft leather, too, is that you really need to massage the conditioner in.
Like massaging kale.
Like when you're making a massage kale salad, just like that, kind of, except not. And you know, you really want to get that in there, because I like to say that, you know, if you're putting on moisturizer before you leave for the house, the house for the day, you wouldn't leave, like, a sheen of moisturizer on your skin, right? So
I'm a bad example. Yeah.
So, like, you know, you rub that in. So similarly, like, so that alone is incredibly erotic. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly erotic. So I recommend that. So any sort of play where you maybe want to have something that's soft enough for you to lay it on your face, or use it as sort of like a masturbation tool, that is, I think, really helpful. Having your own leather gloves, too. You could wear leather gloves and play with yourself and really feel how erotic it is. Like, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with jerking yourself off while wearing leather gloves.
No, there is not. There is nothing wrong. And I just want to say, full disclosure here, you know, I've been sort of playing innocent somewhat in following this line of inquiry, but I just need to report to our listeners that wearing leather boots or leather pants or a leather jacket, and having somebody who really knows what they're doing take care of your leathers while you're wearing them is the best fucking massage you could ever get, because it's a massage plus it smells all musky and smoky and sexy, and it's something else. It's an experience that I highly recommend, and you know, most leather events are gonna have a bootblack at them, and you know, it's a pretty accessible sort of kinky experience to have. And always tip your bootblack.
Always tip your bootblack.
Well, Katie Diamond, is there anything else that you want to say on this subject before we call it a wrap?
Gosh, we covered so much ground. I mean, I think
we stomped all around in our stompy boots.
Stomped everywhere in our stompy, stompy boots. You know, for people that are, I guess, side note.
Yeah.
For people that maybe are vegan and don't want to wear leather.
Right.
I have a leather fetish, so I can't get on that train. But a lot of the techniques for bootblacking and all the boot worship, totally comparable. Vegan leather is supple in a different way, because it's that sort of pleather situation. But yeah. you can clean those. You can't polish them, but you can clean them and then worship them. So you can still get sort of the experience that we're talking about out of it.
It's so interesting, too, because for somebody like you, your leather fetish is central to your attraction to the kink and leather scene. It's very literal.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a direct pathway.
It seems like for some people, leather is a little bit more of a metaphor for whatever their particular kink is. You know, they might even be vegan and be leather.
Oh, totally.
For you, there's something about that sexy second skin that is just...
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely my direct gateway. So, when people say the leather community, for me, it really is about leathers. It is about leather.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Well, thanks for being on the show. It's been a pleasure having you.
It's been great to be here.
I hope you'll come again.
I will.
It's often said that the biggest erogenous zone is between the ears, not the legs. And sexy talk is a great way to get those juices flowing. In this Dirty Talk class, professional exhibitionist motor mouth Tina Horn, that's me, will open your mind to dirty dynamics and have you cursing like a sailor in no time. You'll get a chance to practice nasty talk, learn how to get in touch with your own filthy fantasies and the fantasies of others, and experience the excitement that words can unlock in and outside of the bedroom or dungeon. That's the description for Use Your Words, my Dirty Talk class, which I am teaching at the San Francisco Armory, Thursday, October 23rd at 7 p.m., So if you're in the Bay Area, this is a rare chance to come meet me and learn more about relationship communication and filthy language, which is obviously my specialty. As always, Wire People Into That is exclusively underwritten by Smitten Kitten, the progressive sex toy store for everybody. Follow at Into That Podcast and at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter, and write us a review on iTunes if you're so inclined. Till next time, this is Tina Horn reminding you to always tip your bootblack.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.